We again welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to welcome those on Zoom also and pray for them as they worship with us this day. Greetings and call to worship I would like to use from Genesis 6 and starting with verse 61. Therefore I give unto you a commandment to teach these things freely unto your children, saying, that by reason of transgression cometh the fall, which fall bringeth death. And inasmuch as ye were born into the world by water and blood, and the Spirit, which I have made, and so become of dust a living soul, even so ye must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and of the Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of mine only begotten, that ye may be sanctified from all sin, and enjoy the words of eternal life in this world, and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. For by the water ye keep the commandment, by the Spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified. I do want to introduce our speaker, my son, Jeff Schrunk, elder, and he comes to us from the Atherton Restoration Branch. And so I ask for him your kind prayers and attention today, as he shall bring to us the bread of life. Let us continue then in worship by the use of hymn number 11, All Creatures of Our God and King, again in the Tan Hymnal. Elder Eldon Preston will bring us our invocation.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we do humbly come before you as your covenant people. We truly wish to honor and glorify and bless and sanctify your holy name, Father. We come seeking your presence in great abundance. Father, we need your direction in our lives. We need your word. Father, bless us today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us today. Let us be attuned to the words that you have prepared and put on Brother Jeff's mind for us to hear. Let us have open hearts and willing minds to receive, Father. And just guide and direct us in all things. Father, truly teach us what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless us as only you can, in honor and glory of your Son's holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
As we prepare for our offering, I thought that I had written down the other thing brought to us at the pastor's meeting. There's five young men that have been called to the priesthood. The Lidberg boys, Ben and Jacob, and also Peter Kuhl. And I want to say Nate also have been called, and Brian Holmes has been called the office of elder, and Ben has been called the office of priest, and the other three have been called the office of deacon. And as I thought about the offering, these young men have chose to make their offering unto the Lord, and to accept these priesthood calls. And so what a joy it is for us to recognize that and to be to know the presence of our Lord is so close. And his church continues to flourish. As we prepare for our offering, now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Behold, I speak unto you and unto all those who desire to bring forth and establish this work. And no one can assist in this work except you shall be humble and full of love, having faith, hope, and charity, being temperate in all things whatsoever shall be entrusted to his care. Shall we offer today not only our monies, but also as he asked, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Might the priesthood come forth. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, this is your church. This is your work. And you allow us to have but a small part in that, in giving our financial assistance, but also giving our lives. And so, Father, we ask for your the power of your Holy Spirit to bless our offering this day. And might we continue to have that desire to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. So we ask you to multiply this. It might meet the needs of this in this part of your vineyard. And we offer this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My scripture reading will come from 2 Nephi, chapter 15. We'll start with the first verse. And now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were taught among my people, neither am I mighty in writing, like unto speaking. For when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men. But behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that it hath no place in them. Wherefore they cast many things away which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as a great worth, and especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and mine eyes water my pillow by night, because of them. I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that he will hear my cry, and I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. And the words which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them. For it persuadeth them to do good, it maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth them to believe in him, and endure to the end, which is life eternal. And it speaketh harsh against sin, according to the plainness of the truth. Therefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. Let us continue in worship. Hymn number 42, Spirit of the Living God. 42, Tan Hymn. It's an honor and privilege to be with you this morning. It's been some time since I've been here. It's always good to see the familiar faces.
was talking to Christy last night about how I like coming to Lexington, but I don't like preaching at Lexington. Some say it's preaching to the choir. I say it's much worse than that. It's like preaching to my parents. And I think that goes as some of the worst. Though I am young, and though this short time I've been on earth, I do understand enough to know that I know that whatever age you're at, and wherever you're at in life, that we're all on the same journey, right? We're all on that same path. Knowing that you guys far exceed my knowledge and wisdom of the scriptures and of the Lord, you're still seeking Him. And you're trying to do His will. And you're trying to draw that close relationship and love towards Him. And so that much, in my young years, I do understand. And I understand that we all need strength. We all need guidance, wisdom, direction from that who is on high, the Holy One of Israel. So today I wanted to share some things with you. I wanted to share my testimony, for one, and what the Lord has done in my life. For when I read out of Nephi, 2 Nephi 15 and 7, I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus, for He hath redeemed my soul from hell. And that part, I have a small understanding that He had taken me out of a wicked, carnal, sensual, devilish lifestyle and brought me up out of that, and He alone, saved me. And I know that it's not by any of my doings, any of my works, anything I talk to you about today, for I'm a weak vessel. I'm a sinful vessel. Beneath the earth, the rocks, the dirt, for they follow Him, right? They do what He commands, and I don't. Therefore, they are higher than even me. So what I tell you today, I tell you, it's all because of Him and His strength and His love that I am so undeserving of these blessings and this life that He has bestowed upon me, but yet He did it anyway. I was a bit of a rebellious teenager. Some of you remember me. My mind and heart was upon the things of the world. I liked dirt bikes. I liked four-wheelers. I liked the woods. I liked being away from people. I still do sometimes. I loved all those things, just as my sons do, that I mention to them once in a while. And I didn't see a whole lot of need for the Lord back then. I remember when we moved to Lexington, or started attending the branch back in high school. I'm messing this all up. When we moved here, my freshman year, we started attending Lexington. And I believe my dad was a pastor then. Is that right? He was the pastor. And I remember watching him get nervous over things. And it was subtle. And it wasn't bad. But I remember seeing the nervousness, everything he was putting into it, and all that. And I remember thinking in my mind as a freshman, I want nothing to do with this priesthood. I don't want anything to do with much of church. I don't want to be in that state. I don't want to have to talk to people, figure things out. It's not for me. And I kept to that decision for many years, thinking that I did not want to go down that road. Fast forward to, I was in my 20s. I had a couple kids. I could tell that My life needed a change. It's not that I was doing anything too horrific, but I knew that Christy and the kids, they needed more. And I'd been trying for some years to be a better person, to do the right things. But that love for Jesus just wasn't there. That personal connection and relationship. Christy talked me into doing a patriarchal blessing at the Missionary Union in, I believe it was 2007. I should not put a date on anything because, oh, she gave me the heads up. I got that one right. And as I went into this patriarchal blessing, there were some things on my heart. For one, I thought I was too old for a patriarchal blessing. I'm mid-20s. I had kids. My life was already going, but she talked me into it anyway. And so this was the first time that I had really prayed and fasted about something, seeking the Lord's guidance and direction. And I went through it, and it was very good, and He revealed many things to me. But when it came to the end, it was Vernon Cornish. He looked me right in the eyes. Burl, thank you. Looked me right in the eyes. And he said, "You are not where you should be spiritually, are you?" And boy, did that cut me to the core. And though I knew he was right, I needed somebody to say that. And I said, "No, I'm not." He looked at me again and he said, "From this day forth, you will begin to study and pray and read your scriptures more and come into the Father." And it was something of that gist. Don't take my words exactly correct, but that was what I took from him. And if he wasn't correct in what he had said, my heart began to transform to that connection and that love of Christ from that time. And when I had, I think, just prayed before that, times, "I need you, Jesus, right now," I began to call upon Him for that further connection. And I began to read those things of the Scriptures. And my life did change. And within 2 years, I was ordained to a deacon, to a priest, to an elder, and that's all its own separate testimony I don't need to go into. But though I was not perfect at this time or right now or any, the Lord had begun a transformation into me. And I was so, so thankful for that. You know, it's funny how I grew up my whole life with goodly parents, taught me the ways of the Lord, and yet I was numb. I let it go in one ear and out the other. But the Lord knew there would be a time when I would take it seriously. And I guess He waited upon me for that time. Through prayer, my life has been transformed. I can look at my relationship with the Lord pretty easy when I examine my prayer life and how much I'm talking to the Lord. I remember the first time when I was reading to pray continually, that we are supposed to pray continually, and I put this in action. I still remember the day I was at work and we were building a bunch of concrete walls and we were putting up the forms for it. And I thought, how am I supposed to pray and work and think and all this? But He was on my heart all day. I don't think it ever ceased. Or if it did, it wasn't for very long. And the work was so enjoyable and wonderful. It was muddy. It was freezing cold. We're in this industrial, it was the worst of environments. But yet my heart was with the Lord, and it was such a beautiful day. So thankful for Him giving that experience. And how have your days been when you keep Him on your heart all the day? Doesn't matter what's going on, does it? It's a wonderful day. It can be the worst day of your life at work, what's going on around. But when He's in your heart, giving you that peace and that love all the day long, it's wonderful. As I was ordained an elder, I saw the more powerful work of prayer. I've seen the Lord work in mighty power through prayer. My eyes were opened very wide when I started administering to people, to see that power working as it as we had heard in old days, as I would say. It was miraculous to me. I still remember one of the first times I laid my hands on a brother who was sick, and as I began to pray, I could feel, and as we laid his hands, his head was just hot, just burning. And as we prayed, immediately it went to cool, and I could feel it under my fingertips. And I thought, Lord, what do I even do to deserve this, to be shown Your power through prayer? I've seen demons cast out, seen many people made well, and I just couldn't believe the power of the Lord. Even though I'd heard about it, seen it in my own life, to see it touch others was so wonderful. And to be used as an instrument in His hands at time to time, it's just so amazing. Though I'm so undeserving of it. We had a junior high camp a few years ago. And Satan was after this camp like no other. And there was only 3 elders there, I believe. Is that right? And the other elder was in the kitchen, was unavailable a lot. But there started becoming kids who were sick of these little small things, but it was putting them down. And it was just kid after kid after kid. And we were administering. I mean, it was amazing how many administrations we had done in just a few days of these kids. And they would come in and they would not be feeling well, like they were about to go down. And we'd pray for them. And within an hour or two, they'd be back playing. And this happened with a huge group of kids. And a little later on that week, a few days in, one of the young ladies, she had fear in her heart. She knew it wasn't right. And so she'd asked for us to administer to her. And as we did, that peace came to her. And she was able to leave the doubt and the fear. And she felt that through that administration, as she testified later on. And then we did that one night, and it was the next morning. I was awakened, and this was the first time this ever happened in my life. I was awakened with fear upon me. I did not wake up and start thinking about things, and then the fear came. It was so distinct. When I opened my eyes, it was this heaviness, and it was a fear, and it was something I can't even describe, but I knew it was not of the Lord. And knowing this, and not wanting to wake Christy up, I exited our trailer, and I went and told Satan the name of Jesus Christ where to go in a very loud voice. I didn't like that feeling of fear. I didn't like him trying to do that to me. I went back in and I laid down, and Christy says, "I feel as though somebody has died." And I knew that what she was feeling was what I was feeling. And that spirit had gotten into that camp. So we immediately went to all around the campsite just praying that that spirit would leave, that it would no longer linger there. And it did. The Lord cast it out. And the rest of the camp went real smooth, real good. But Satan, he was sure trying us. And I saw that in the power of the prayer and in the name of Jesus Christ, the devil could not stand in that campground. He had to leave. So much of the time, we're not watching for Satan, are we? We're not looking for him to causing that mischief and that darkness and that fear and that doubt and all those things that come with it in our lives. Now, we do trust in Jesus. We know that the devil cannot stand by him, but we also have to be watchful and we have to be praying that we will have that power through Jesus to go against him. We can't be like I heard the story of these were professional hunters. And I think they were in Alaska hunting elk. And they had gotten one. And they had carried some meat down already. And they were going up for the rest of them to pack out the meat. And remind you, these are professionals. They were all taking a break and they were sitting around eating their lunch. And though they had seen some bear droppings around, they didn't think much of it. They just went on and la-di-dying. And they got their sandwiches out and they were starting to eat. And the next thing that happened was this big old grizzly came flying into their camp. And they were completely unprepared. Only two of them had guns, and one had set the gun away from him. The other one, I don't know where, but they all scattered. And I think one of them chucked a trekking pole at it or something. And in that, they realized how unprepared they were. These were professionals. They spent their lives in the woods. They knew everything about it, and they disregarded the signs. And they left and they were unprepared. And that's what we can't be to Satan. We have to be prepared. We have to be watching, waiting. And though we don't worry and fear or doubt, when we see things arise, we have to come before our Lord and pray for his strength and direction. That we won't be like these guys when Satan comes to attack us. We'll be taken unaware. We have to be ready, willing to fight. You know, I said earlier about the world. We have to be ready to fight against Satan, against those things that aren't Christ-like, against those things of the world. And I wanted to share a story I'd heard. Now, if you can picture this, I come in the sanctuary with a pig. Does that sound kind of weird? And I take this pig and I bring him up here. And let's say I have a bucket of slop on one side. And let's say I have a ribeye, potato and all the goods, or whatever your favorite food is on the other side. And I'm going to ask you, what is that pig going to partake of? I'm no pig farmer, but in theory, they'll go for the slop, right? That warm nastiness that they love so much. And they'll not just only, you know, nibble on it or something. They're going to stick their head in that bucket, right? And they're going to go after it. No shame, just loving it. Now let's say that I'm able to transform this pig into a man at this time. And as he is transformed, what's he going to look like? He's going to look ashamed, right? He's going to look around and think, Why am I partaking of this slop? Why is my head in this bucket? What is going on? And for myself, and I'm sure some of you, I just told you about your conversion experience, right? That of a new creature. We were those pigs partaking of that slop and that worldliness and all that goes in that. But as we are transformed, we no longer want the slop, the worldliness. We desire that heavenly food. I don't know if I put a ribeye as heavenly food, but you understand where I'm going here. And what pains me is that though I am transformed by the love, by the mercy and the grace that only Jesus Christ can bestow, I still stick my head in that bucket once in a while. And I ask you, do you still stick your head in that bucket? For those things of the world that you know that you should not be partaking of, but yet you do anyway. And I would ask you today to push that bucket aside, to throw it out, and only partake of that heavenly food, that goodness and that mercy, and that love that only Jesus Christ can bestow upon you. Rid yourself of those things of the world, that you won't even have temptation to stick your head in that bucket. The Lord has provided so much strength in my life to be up here, to even speak to you, to do the things I do on a daily basis, church and work. I know it is only by His power, strength, that I can go on and do what He has asked me to do. And I listened to a preacher the other day, and he was really giving it to the mature audience. And he was kind of disgusted at how, as we get older, and the times and the things change in this world, how he's seen so many give in to kids and grandkids' way of living, to conforming with the things of today. And as I am just barely starting to enter into that realm, just barely, I can see how that can happen to those with kids and grandkids who are older and wanting their love and affection and not for them to leave, giving up principles and doctrine and those examples that Jesus set. And he got on to them pretty good and said, do not give in. You must be strong. You must stand firm against this world and what the world brings and offers and is changing, because we know who does not change. And that hit home to me because, like I said, just that inkling, I can see how that can happen in the lives of parents and grandparents and how you could easily go down that road. But we must stay strong. We must be firm in our foundation. We know the things that the Lord has taught us in those examples, and we must stay strong. There was a time a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years, I hate telling time because I've gotten to the point where I'm horrible with time. And we went and we visited the Liberty Jail. And though I had read the accounts and heard stories, I had yet to go there to see the actual jail. And as we went in and saw it, I thought, wow, that's small. And realizing that, you know, there's a lower room and an upper room, and then understanding that they were just in the lower room when they were in prison, and this was Joseph and, oh man, does anybody want to name some names? Hiram, okay, Joseph and Hiram. I can't remember now.
Taylor.
What's that?
Taylor.
Taylor, okay.
And Joseph Smith III, who was only 5 years old.
When he was set apart, yep. So these men were in this small, confined space. And I'm sure my dad has told you about his confined space problems. And though I try not to share in that, I am one who wants to be free. It would kill me to be stuck in that little cell with not much light down in there. And it's not very often that I feel fear. I feel like I couldn't take something. But I think the Lord was trying to show me something. Because the longer I thought about this, the more I thought, how would I endure, was it 6 months they were in there? I can't remember. 6, 8 months. Many months they were in this little cell. And I thought, Lord, how would I endure that time in this little dark tiny basement? I don't like to be indoors all day. I have to be outside. I have to stretch. This is crazy. I would much rather take a beating outside by a bunch of men than you throw me in this basement. I'd almost rather have a shooting gallery come before me and just pop, I'm done. I know I'm maybe getting a little dramatic, but you know, don't put me in the cell for months and months and months. And that bothered me that I was thinking this way. And I thought, Lord, how could I endure this? There, the impossibility, if I trust in Jesus and I preach to the people when times get crazy, there's a possibility that I could be incarcerated. There's possibility that I could be killed. All these things, you know. And one morning, I woke up early. It was the next day, and I was praying about this. And I know this is such a simple thing. And I was praying, Lord, how could I endure this? And the words just came to me, boom. Not by my strength, or not by your strength, but by my strength. And like I said, it's a simplistic thing. You know, I should know this. But it cut. The Lord was saying, by my strength, you can do anything. And then, yes, we've read it 100 times, but have we had a gun to our head? Have we had somebody holding our head down into water? Have we been burned? Have we been tarred and feathered? Have we been all these things? And when the moment comes, we rely on ourselves, don't we? At least I do. Seems like when things get real tough at work and I'm trying and this and that, I put it on myself and I try to make it work instead of calling upon the Lord for His strength. And He was showing me that. He was telling me, not by your strength, but by mine. We can endure anything through Him, no matter the consequences, no matter what's happening. We must call upon Him in mighty prayer. And maybe He won't take away the pain, the suffering. Maybe we'll have to endure it for a while. But we still call upon Him, right? I've shared these testimonies and these things that have happened to me, and I hope and I pray that you will see the Lord's goodness and mercy and love that He has for each and every one of us, because He works with each and every one of you, right? These testimonies I've shared, you guys have all seen, you've felt, most of you have experienced them, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's real. Does any of you question it? Do you question the love that he has for you? Do you question that he doesn't want to be close to you? If you do, come before him in mighty prayer, falling upon your knees and bowing your head, that those questions in your mind may be answered. It might take one time, two time, three time, 8, 10, 12, 365. We don't know. But we have to seek him. And he will find you. When Arthur Oakman wanted an answer to a question, he prayed, 8 or 9 months up in that church to know whether his ministry was acceptable unto the Lord. It took 8 or 9 months, and it took him doing a different work and putting his time and effort into other things before it was answered. But he will answer you if you ask. The Lord has been everything to me. He has been my rock and my strength. And it pains me when I put my head over in that other bucket and partake of those things of the world and draw comfort from them. When I don't partake of that heavenly food. Take comfort in knowing that he is everything. Lord, your Savior. Take comfort in knowing that he will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will even show you those ways when you go wrong. I am one who needs a whooping every once in a while. Many of us like the still small voice. We like the whisperings to change our heart and minds, and that's all good if you're that kind of person. But I'm the one, every once in a while, he's got to smack me upside the head and say, "What are you doing?" And that's love to me. I feel loved when he's giving me that whooping, when he's telling me, "What are you doing here? You shouldn't be doing that." There was a time when I was getting a very deserved whooping from him. And he was showing me things in my life that I was doing wrong. Showing me that I needed to change my ways. And one night we were at prayer service. And I was feeling very down and out through my own fault. Through my own doings, I was feeling a little off, and I think I was in need of some love. It's hard for a man to admit that, right? And as I was sitting there in the Atherton Church, if you look back at the window, the glass window, kind of like here, you'll see Jesus, and he has a sheep in his arms, a little lamb. And as I looked at that picture, my mind was taken away from me. And in that, I could see Jesus. And Jesus was about 10 feet tall. I think I was about 3 feet tall. And in this, I don't want to say vision, but in my mind's eye, he scooped me up. And he held me in his arms. And I felt that love. And I felt his good spirit. And it was such a wonderful experience to behold at that time, to feel him as though I was a little babe in his arms. And he comforted me. Even though I was the one who had made the mess, he loved me through it. I remember a time when it was 2020 and all the things were happening in the world. And Christy and I went to the church to pray about what we should do. Were we to conform, rebel? What did we need to do? What would you have us do, Lord, in these situations that were arising? And we went to the church, and we bowed down, got on our knees, and we asked the Lord these things. And what was funny was the Lord, from what I remember, didn't reveal what we were praying for, but he revealed in my heart what I really needed. And that was to repent of some sins. And he laid it upon my heart at that time. And going through that repentant time and all through that, the Lord, he blessed and he loved me through that. I just thought it was interesting how if you go before him and ask of those things, he may not give you the answer you want. And you guys know that. But he will give you what you need. And so I would ask each and every one of you, that if it's been a while, now I'll admit most of us know our faults. We know the things that separate us to a degree. We know things we need to work on. But sometimes there's more. And sometimes we need to go before our Heavenly Father. We need to bow down. And we need to say, Lord, is there something I don't know about that's separating you from me? Is there a wedge in there that I don't know about? And as we ask those things in sincerity of our hearts, he'll show you. If we ask in sincerity, if we're willing to accept those things that he will tell us, sometimes we can't accept them. Sometimes we justify them. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to see them for what they are, and that is sin that is separating you. He wants to be so close to you. He wants to love you. He wants that personal. He wants to love you and touch you. Do not separate yourself from him. I thank you for your time and attention today. I feel very inadequate. But I know that his love can go forth no matter who stands up here and speaks. And I hope and I pray that it has this day. Out of 2 Nephi chapter 3, starting with verse 30. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart ponders continually into the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which thus easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions at the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And my eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I have bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things that the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men has visited me in such mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
Thank you, Jeff, for those words. Pricks our hearts. Let us close our service with use hymn number 104, For Those Tears I Died, in the Tan Hymnal 104.
Thank you.
Jeff, we were ministered to by your testimonies this morning. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, you have descended down upon us this day by the power of your Spirit. Our hearts have been touched, O Father, because of testimonies, O Father, that are so pertinent, which are so personal, that come into our lives, that bring forth sanctification into our very being. And reveal, Father, the closeness that you have and the love that you have for each one of us. For we sense, O Father, how special we really are in your presence. And we would ask, O Father, that by that power, by that sense of our understanding, that come from above, that we're your people. And you call us, O Father, to do many things, many great things in your name. We pray, O Father, that you would strengthen us to go forth, O Father, into the world and share those things, O Father, which you have bestowed upon us, that the world would know the love that you have for every person, that they are of self-worth. Oh, Father, help us to look beyond behavior and look at the heart. And so we ask this blessing, oh, Father, this morning, in the beautiful and the holy name of your Son, that you would be glorified in us, that we would go forth, O Father, to bring those blessings because you love us. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.